From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, April 23rd. I'm Abby Larico. A disproportionately low number of Black children in St. Louis are reading proficiently. Local literacy organization Black Men Read is trying to change that with free books and tutorials and with their presence.
It's just important that we change the culture, that they see Black men in these spaces, and really kids seeing people that look like them, encouraging them to read.
St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson has details of the effort coming up after this news on The Gateway. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe will sign several bills into law this afternoon, including a measure that targets anti-Semitism in schools. House Bill 2061 requires public schools and colleges to include definitions of anti-Semitism in their codes of conduct. The governor will also sign a bill that significantly restricts the state's hemp industry. The measure classifies most hemp-derived intoxicating products as marijuana. Kehoe also plans to sign House Bill 2934, which establishes a unified governance structure for America Center and the Dome. The single board would work together to bring events and conferences to downtown St. Louis. The bill signing is scheduled for 2:30 this afternoon in the governor's office. Last night, the Missouri Senate passed its $48.8 billion version of the state operating budget. That's about $1.6 billion less than the House version that representatives passed weeks ago. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, neither version fully funds the state's K-12 foundation formula.
The K-12 budget bill contains around $4.3 billion for the formula. That's about $190 million short of full funding. Former Appropriations Chair Lincoln Huff introduced an amendment that would have added the additional dollars to K-12 funding.
I'm asking you now, with this amendment, to make it a priority this year, the last year that I'm in the Senate, that we tell those kids and we tell those teachers and we tell those parents that we've got your back.
The Springfield Republican also argued the state does have the necessary revenue for that increase for this fiscal year. Ultimately, a majority of senators defeated the amendment. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
An effort to impose an extra tax on millionaires in Illinois has stalled in the state legislature. The proposed amendment to the state constitution would impose a 3% tax on individuals that make more than $1 million each year to fund property tax relief and public schools. Democratic House Speaker Emanuel Chris Welch says it's important not to rush this.
We're committed to getting it right. We're going to continue to work towards it, more work needs to be done.
Welch says the proposal won't be ready by the end of the week. That means the amendment won't meet a May 3rd deadline to be on the fall ballot because the House doesn't return to Springfield until a day after that. The St. Louis region is among the worst 25 metropolitan areas in the country for smog, a kind of air pollution that forms from ground-level ozone. That's according to the American Lung Association's latest State of the Air report. Smog can form when emissions from things like cars and factories react with sunlight. Exposure to smog can cause breathing problems and trigger asthma and other lung issues. Children are particularly vulnerable to these health impacts because their lungs are still developing and they breathe in more air for their body size than adults do. To reduce smog, the East-West Gateway Council of Governments has said the region would have to lower emissions from cars, promote public transportation, and put stricter controls on industry and power plants. Some people in the Jeff Vanderloo neighborhood are concerned about plans for a golf facility on a former industrial site. The PGA of America and Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater St. Louis want to build a driving range and short game course for children, but it would be at the site of the old Carter Carburetor Factory, which closed in the 1980s. It left behind toxic chemicals like PCBs and TCE, which have been linked to health problems such as cancer and birth defects. The Environmental Protection Agency designated the land a federal Superfund site and finished cleaning it up in 2020, and authorities say it's safe to build on. But neighborhood resident Carla Alexander wants more testing.
They have a legal and moral obligation to protect this community, protect the children, protect the families, protect all of us.
The EPA says it has no plans for additional testing, but continues to work with local partners to make sure the project is safe. Missouri is keeping two baseball teams. The Kansas City Royals are getting a new stadium and ballpark district in Crown Center near downtown Kansas City, Missouri. They're teaming up with Hallmark Cards for the project. The stadium and surrounding entertainment district will be mostly privately funded and exceed $3 billion in its first phase. Mayor Quentin Lucas says it will generate 20,000 union jobs in the construction trades.
If you care about our workers, you care about their jobs staying right here in Kansas City, Missouri. And that is what we've been able to guarantee today.
Construction on the project is expected to break ground in 2027 for a planned 2030 opening. This follows the Kansas City Chiefs football team announcing their plans to move over state lines into Kansas. The National Archives in Washington, D.C. is sharing some rarely seen material in an exhibit that opened this week in Independence, Missouri. Julie Deneche reports.
In honor of America's 250th anniversary, the Harry S. Truman Library and Museum is hosting a collection of 21 historical documents, including the original Louisiana Purchase, revisions to the Bill of Rights, and the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery in the United States. Director Mark Adams says the documents span from 1782 to 1971 and offer a rare look at history in the making.
It really gives you goosebumps as you look at them. The words come alive. You think about the people that wrote the documents.
The exhibit runs through May 24 and is a part of a special tour called Opening the Vault at presidential libraries across the country. I'm Julie Deneche.
Research shows just 14% of Black students in St. Louis are proficient readers. Literacy organizations such as Black Men Read are trying to increase those rates by providing free books and tutorials to students in the area. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson brings us to a classroom where Black children get to see people who look like them, encouraging them to read.
Jefferson Elementary students in Ms. Murphy's second grade class are learning phonics when a guest walks in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The students aren't surprised to see Keon Watkins because he comes every week to read books to Jefferson's first and second graders.
So we got two books, but if y'all want to read, this is my friend. It's called Lil Drippy's Nacho Adventure. What y'all think?
About 15 children pile up on a blue rug with colorful button shapes and pick up books to follow along with him. The two they read are fanciful books Watkins' organization, Black Men Read, provides to every student to add to their home library collection.
Mom, it's summertime, and I don't know what to do. I'm bored with my old toys. I'm ready for something new.
Watkins has been reading at the Carr Square Neighborhood School for about a year. It's just one of many where he and other members of his organization consistently volunteer. Watkins says Black Men Read's mission is to eliminate students being pushed out of schools for discipline issues and into juvenile justice systems or prisons, which disproportionately affects Black students.
And so it's just important that we change the culture that they see Black men in these spaces, and really kids seeing people that look like them, encouraging them to read.
Across the nation, about 35% of all children are reading proficiently by the fourth grade, compared to only 17% of Black children. In St. Louis, it's a bit lower, with about 14% of Black children proficient in reading, compared to over 20% of all children. Watkins says his literacy organization is here to fill in the gaps, but it takes a community. That community includes about two dozen other Black men who volunteer to read with the group at schools, events, and libraries, including local children's author and entrepreneur Stanley K. Harvey. He says he's learned that many Black children process the concept of reading much differently than other students.
I realize a lot of the Black children that I work with, they learn off rhythm. Like when I come with something that's musical or something, they catch it fast.
And Harvey adapted his two children's books to cater to the rhythmic learning styles of Black children. He says he's driven by the curiosity children express when he reads to them.
The power of the right voice and the right person could impact you forever. So that's why I think as a black man showing up, this is important.
Harvey grew up near the Penrose neighborhood, and he remembers what it's like to not have many black men in schools encouraging students to read. Less than 2% of U.S. teachers are black men. Harvey says he wasn't a confident reader in school, and having teachers who looked like him would have helped.
I was shy. I was nervous. I wasn't confident. I didn't feel like I was brave enough. As I dealt with them within months, I see them step up more brave. Even if they stuttering, the class laughing, they still going. And I'm like, okay, you building your confidence. You don't care at this point.
That confidence is something Watkins wishes his brother had. Watkins started Black Men Read in 2021 as a book club, and it blossomed into a nonprofit as a way to pay tribute to his late brother, who was illiterate.
So I decided to make Black Men Read a nonprofit to really focus on literacy and just, you know, the baby seeing us in these spaces and letting them know that you should read. Like, it can change your life. It can change your whole trajectory.
For Black Men Read, Watkins says success looks like every child his organization encounters having access to books, which he hopes will also increase literacy rates among black children in St. Louis. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.